Welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. Once again, we are not joined by Ellie. She has still fallen out with Alice. They're not speaking. It's all over, guys.
Big disaster.
but Alice is still here. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
And we are joined by someone very special. Someone who, and this was a plot twist for me, made up his own middle name, Nathan James Bauer. Nathan, thank you for being here.
Hello.
Tell me more.
Well, okay, so I don't have a middle name. I'm just Nathan Bauer. But I have quite a lot of sisters, quite a lot of siblings, and just sisters, like six sisters, and they all have middle names. I'm the only one in my family who doesn't have a middle name, and I think that like made me develop some kind of complex as a kid. For some reason, I felt left out. So when I was in school, I always used to write Nathan James Bauer on my books just because I liked the sound of it. And to this day, I still think it sounds good as a middle name. So that's kind of what I call myself, but it's not official
not wrong,
in any way. Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking, because I wanted to say something fun for you, and I was like, what can I say without, like, being really weird?
I did
hear, and it bamboozled me yesterday, that you did a 4.5-hour-long podcast recently.
Yeah, we did. So on my podcast, Still Got Legs, we... our listeners for quite a while, because I, as a joke, said, oh, we'll do a 6-hour episode on this quite big episode of Doctor Who. And as a joke, kind of our audience just ran with that and said, yes, do that. And then they started to say, if you don't do that, we'll kill ourselves, which was pretty horrific, but also fun. And then we got to it, and it just went for 4.5 hours.
That is an impressive episode.
We was very exhausted by the end of it. But then the one after that, we was like, all right, the one after that will be shorter. We didn't intend for it to go long. It was still 3.5 hours for some reason. This podcast only seems to be getting longer. But yeah.
I mean, I love it. I just refuse to edit it if it was that long. I would be like, there's no way I'm doing this.
Lawrence gets off very easy. He gets to edit an hour of another Happy Pod every week, and I take this.
Lumped with the...
Yeah, exactly.
3-hour.
But it's not that bad.
As Nathan said, he's got two podcasts, Another Happy Pod and Still Got Legs. I'll link them below, but they're genuinely two of my favorite podcasts. I listen to them every single week and harass you about them. So give them a listen if you haven't done already.
And you've been on Still Got Legs twice now?
Yes, I've been on twice. So I've also been on it, if that sways anyone.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you.
But... The Vampire Diaries. So before we get into the episode, I think we have to ask, what is your relationship with The Vampire Diaries?
Well, as you know, Catherine, I'm an expert on all things The Vampire Diaries. No, my knowledge of The Vampire Diaries begins and ends with this podcast. Okay, so I listen to this podcast. I'm a big fan. I love it. But I've never seen the show itself until today, mm-hmm. I guess. And it was a bizarre experience. But, I know there's vampires, obviously. I know it's very Twilight inspired, although I think it was based on a book itself or something. Yeah. But other than that, all I know is the jokes from this show. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So big moment in a man's life. You've lost your Vampire Diaries virginity.
Every man's life, that's the one we're always looking forward to, I think.
did you like it? Did you think, why do they talk about this every single week?
I liked parts of it. Okay, there was element. Everyone's very attractive, so that's nice.
Yeah, it is a show of gorgeous individuals.
I mean, it's a CW show, so that makes sense. They always get very attractive people. So it was nice to look at least for the most part. Anyway. I was just very confused and really had no idea what was going on. I was thrown into the deep end a little bit here. and I tried to make sense of the plot. There was this, not to jump ahead and spoil, but there's throughout this episode, there's like a reveal of a character who's like, they're not who they say they are. They're mm-hmm. they're pretending to be someone else. So throughout the whole episode, I was like, oh, so that's this guy. Oh, no, wait, it is this guy. Oh, no, it's actually this guy. Oh, okay. Like, at least there was like at least three different times where I went back and forth with this person. So it was very confusing, but, you know, an entertaining way to spend 45 minutes or whatever it was. Yeah, so it was fun.
They're breezy episodes, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a hardcore actual.
No, not at all.
If we get into it. So today we're talking about season 2, episode 18, The Last Dance. It originally aired on the 14th of April, 2011. The episode was written by Michael Tucci and directed by John Behring. Welcome to the 60s. It is the Mystic Falls decade dance, and the gang are just trying to have a groovy time while disturbing messages from Klaus make that impossible. And he's finally going to show his face. Well, not quite his face. I actually think, as I know it's confusing, but I think as a Vampire Diaries episode, you've got one that's kind of maximum Vampire Diaries, because we have a dance.
Oh, okay.
We have the yes. cast in silly costumes.
Yes.
We have a little action scene, and then we have like the most egregious project placement you've ever seen. And that's kind of the show.
I do have a note about the product placement. It was very funny.
It was subtle as a brick, wasn't it?
It was very subtle, yeah.
But yeah, and I have to admit, we love a decade dance. They pop up periodically throughout the whole of the Vampire Diaries. We get all the different decades, and yeah, we're a sucker for them.
So have they been going in order then? Has it been like the 20s, 30s, 40s, and now we're up to the 60s for the decade dance?
So season one, we had the 50s. So they had that okay. before. And then they're meant to do the 70s next season. But instead, for various plot reasons, it's like the 1920s. So they do kind of like crop up.
Okay. Right, okay. That's fair enough, I guess.
I feel like teen shows have really misled me as to what American high schools are like, because Do they have dances like this?
This was an event.
I mean, I don't think we ever had what you would call a dance at my high school at all. Like, we never had anything like this. From what I understand, I think they are a lot more social than we tend to be here. There are a lot more, like, social events. You know, TV shows and movies, like, they always, like, glamorize them and do them up a bit. Like, I always think about High School Musical when there's like, you know, big, huge posters of the basketball team, like professionally made, like NBA level posters of Troy Bolton and stuff. And it just always seems quite weird. But yeah, I don't think it's quite accurate.
I feel like Mystic Falls in particular, the number of events this tiny little town hosts, I mean, mostly by one, Carol Lockwood. But yeah, is insane for the size of the town and the size of the school.
I tell you what, you saying that this is like a kind of maximum Vampire Diaries episode covering all bases, I have to say, I was a little disappointed we didn't get to visit the grill, okay?
Oh, no!
Because
you're right!
I don't so think, much I didn't about even how everyone goes
in this
to the
episode,
grill.
Catherine.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
A shame.
Yeah, you have missed out on some core highlights. Sorry, I just thought of it when we were talking about dances. So we only had like a prom at school. But yeah. I went to an all-girls school, and then the boys' school down the road, because they couldn't have a prom because it would have been girly, they called it a sportsman's dinner, and that's still my favourite thing.
A sportsman's dinner.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't like to think of my prom. It was also the one event we hosted, and I had a wardrobe malfunction and had to be chopped out of my dress with hedge scissors. So,
oh my God. Wow.
We start the episode, and I will say, it doesn't hold your hand, because I don't know if they've not done this in a while. There was no previously on, and I was like, oh, there'll at least be
okay,
a previously.
So...
Nope.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, is every episode like this? Do they just throw you in at the deep end? Because
no.
There was nothing.
Normally there's like a little recap, and there's like at least like normally a cold open or something. This, they just start you in the middle of a scene with Klaus picking out his wardrobe for the day.
And quite an intense scene as well. Like, I really had no idea what to expect, and then suddenly there's this woman stabbing herself with a knife, which was... It was pretty grim.
What do you think of this villain at the moment, Nathan? Because this is obviously a villain that's in someone else's body. So Klaus is in Rick's body. What do
yes.
you, how do you find him?
Confusing. Because, again, like, the whole being in another body thing, I didn't clock onto that until probably embarrassingly late into the episode, really. It took me quite a while to figure out that's what was going on. And when he showed up at the school as the teacher, I was so confused then. I was like, I this guy's the teacher? The guy who's killing or making this woman stab herself? Like, he seemed like the main villain to me, which I guess he kind of is. But, yeah, I don't know. He's got an interesting vibe, I think. I don't really know how other villains have, like, come across, but he seems quite sinister, I guess. Sinister enough for the show, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, it's also really... because this technically is the first time we're meeting Klaus. We've, like, heard of his name, like, multiple times throughout the season. And it is just, like, a bizarre choice for the show to make. To you don't see him, instead you have him, someone else pretending to be him, and
right,
we talked about this last time, and it was because basically they just hadn't cast the actor yet, so they were playing for time.
Okay, that's quite clever from like a production standpoint.
Yeah, so also because like Klaus goes on to be like a really major bit in the show, like he has his own spin-off, like he's a main character, the guy in this episode does not feel anything like the character we get. So,
right, okay.
Not at all. I've got some choice kind of quotes from here where it's like, oh, he's Safari Sam. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
Oh, what a buzzkill. And when you meet the real Klaus, yikes, this is not.
Right, okay. I see.
Yeah.
Not the vibe at all.
I think it's also hard for me because I don't like the actor that plays Rick because he is a bad person. I just find his acting really annoying. So when he's pretending to be Klaus, I'm just like cringing and I'm like, I actually wish you weren't on screen.
Oh, no. Why is he a bad person? If that's not too a deep topic.
So he's like a Trump supporter and like, he's like publicly clashed with the guy that plays Stefan on Twitter about it, but then he also made loads of like really gross comments about the actress that played Bonnie just like weirdly sexual things, but also like because she's mixed race and people were like upset at the way her character was being treated because she's black. He was like, well, she's actually Jewish and you wouldn't say that if she's Jewish. It was just really weird.
Okay. Yeah, that is strange.
Mm-hmm. So I don't like him.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, I get that. So this guy, all right, so this guy who is not Klaus, but we're seeing as Klaus. Mm-hmm. No, he is Klaus, but he's not the real Klaus or whatever. has his name is Alaric or something?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Has he showed up in the show before?
Yeah, so he's quite a big character. So he came in and he started dating Elena's... Guardian Jenna, who we don't see in this episode. Yeah.
Okay.
But he's also got other plot lines. So he came into town as like the local vampire hunter, and then he thought his wife was dead, but she turned into a vampire and turns out she was also Elena's mother. So, you know, the plot.
All crazy
twists get yeah. And also I know you were saying about the kind of woman you saw getting her sort of stabbing herself in the knee. What's interesting from this episode's kind of perspective is up until now, she has always had the upper hand. So she was the main villain, Catherine, of season one. End of season one, season two.
I see, that's who she was, okay.
So it's kind of throwing that a bit on its head.
So I guess the show is trying to like say to us that like, oh, look at this guy. He's even more of a big scary villain because he's taking on this villain who you all know. So yeah.
Yep.
I guess that makes sense, really. I think I've heard you guys talk about compelling quite a lot. And I think this is obviously the first time I've ever seen it in action. Is that what the eye thing was when they like weirdly zoomed in on his eye?
Yes.
For some reason? Okay.
It's they can make people do things. And because Klaus is extra special, extra dangerous, he's an original vampire. So an original vampire can't just compel people, they can compel vampires too. So they're like really scary.
Right,
the idea.
Okay. 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 Is there like any limits on like what they can do, or is it just like pretty much whatever the show needs them to do? Really?
Well, that's the answer.
Okay.
Whatever the plot needs. No, they can, it's like, they can't like change the laws of physics. So like if they say fly, the person will not fly. They will just fall to the ground. But they, if you are compelled to kill yourself, like you will kill yourself. There is like no stopping it.
There's no stopping it. That's brutal.
There is something. So if you're on a substance called vervain, you cannot be compelled.
Okay.
So that's the thing they use often with kind of people around town where they're like, oh, this person's on vervain. And actually that was an, we'll go on to it when we talk about the Caroline and Matt kind of couple. But that was kind of part of last episode's drama with them.
Right. Okay. Okay. And I think they said at one point that this guy was on vervain, did they? Like when there was the showdown in the school or something.
Yeah. Cause they like, yeah, they need a way for like not all the characters to be like constantly being mind controlled by each other. So they just like hand wave it and be like, whoever needs vervain has vervain. But if we need them to run out or we need it to not be available, it will not be available.
Classic CW. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much. And then Elena gets given a house.
Okay. Yeah.
And as we said last time, but for context, Nathan, this is her fourth house.
She's 17 and owns four houses. I am a decade on her and own 17. Zero houses.
I'm 30 and own zero houses.
She has her family home now, which I guess she owns. There's a lake house, which her family owns, which she now owns. Her mother, who's
dead,
also gave her a safe house. And now this is house number four.
And she's inherited every single one of these properties.
Yeah, pretty much. Apart from this one.
Wow.
Well, okay.
Pretty much. Al, we don't need to go into every intricate detail. Give them a break.
Okay.
I am kind of, because the show obeys the rules that like a vampire has to be invited in to get into a house, which I do think is like a really fun bit of vampire lore that like they don't use in other
stuff. I thought it was funny.
I am kind of obsessed that this magic works based on legal documents. And if Elena signs her name on a piece of paper, they can't come in.
Yeah, I did think it was pretty ridiculous when... I'm assuming those are the Salvatore brothers, is it?
Indeed.
Yes, yeah, when they were just like waiting out on the porch and then Nina, not Elena, was like, oh, come on in, but not you, I guess. And I like, is there like... When it comes to, you know, being invited in, what does it ever come up in the show? Like, what happens if someone isn't invited in but tries to come in? Can they, like, not physically do it, or do they just not touch that?
So they can't cross the threshold. So they're, like, they just cannot do it at all.
They, like, physically won't be able to move past it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you get kind of Elena owning the house. Stefan and Damon have a bit of a chat about Catherine. So that was the woman you saw stabbing herself in the knee. And they're wondering if Klaus has killed her yet, which there was, Damon got a bit emotional, I thought, which was...
Yeah, because they have both dated Catherine and obviously both are interested in Elena.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the like one of the main driving forces of the show is like both these she likes both these brothers and they both like her, which is kind of a disgusting love triangle. And it happening once is insane, but it happens like multiple times and multiple women throughout the show.
How old are these brothers supposed to be?
So Stefan is supposed to be a teenager, so same as Elena, he's meant to be 17, and I think Damon's meant to be a few years old, I don't know, maybe like early 20s, but I mean
Damon looks 45. Okay.
You get kind of used to it, but then particularly this episode, because they were like, so normally they don't bother going to school, because they did, I was like, Stefan is 30 and he is attending class with like a backpack.
It did seem very funny. I did laugh quite a lot at that sort of stuff.
If adults still getting cast as teens? I feel like not as much, maybe?
I feel like it's less common these days, I haven't seen it in a while.
There was one relative, I say recently, it probably means 2 years ago, but wasn't there, what's his name? A guy, sorry, this is going to be a terrible story because I don't remember his name, who was cast as a teenager. And he got a lot of backlash because he is like...
Oh, 40. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Dear Evan Hansen.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. what's his name? Ben something, is it?
Ben Platt, yeah.
Ben Platt, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I recently watched Theatre Camp with him, and it was good to see him play an appropriate age for himself, really, because
I really want to watch Theatre Camp.
It's good. It's very funny. You should watch it.
But yeah, Elena decides that even though they've given her a house to keep her safe and she normally never attends school, today is the day she's going to go to school, and she's going to go to the dance is what she wants as well.
Okay. All right. So do these guys just pick and choose when they go to school?
Like... Oh, definitely. Like you see school in maybe 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 episodes. Does it even get mentioned? One thing I think I did enjoy is when they at least, I think a few episodes ago, acknowledged it. They were like, oh, school, that thing we've forgotten about. And I was like, good. At least he said that.
Are there no consequences to this? Do they not like get punished in any way or anything?
I think the show kind of implies that they are going to school, but we're not seeing it. But there is not enough hours in the day for the shenanigans that they get up to then also be attending classes. And then... because Alaric, the history teacher, is a character, the only class we ever see is history. So they only ever attend history class when they do go to... okay.
They used to share a bit of football, but then the football teacher got killed. So I guess that was that.
Well, that's that then. No more football, I guess. I did have questions about the history class because, like, I don't remember history very well at school, but... I certainly don't remember just being taught decades at random. That seems... Today we're just going to cover all of the 60s, I guess. Like, how does that work?
I would say I don't think Alaric's a very good teacher.
I mean, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, my curriculum wasn't decided by the themed school dance of that week.
Oh, that's quite fun.
They also do tend to almost exclusively learn history of... Mystic Falls,
and the Civil War. Yeah, we weren't talking about the Civil War, so this is a huge step up for Alaric's classroom.
Well, good for him, I guess.
Yeah, but Klaus hates the 60s. The only thing he likes is the Beatles. That's the only redeemable part of the 60s to him, so fair enough.
Okay. I mean, there was a lot of interesting stuff in the 60s. Moon landing was a big thing. Would a vampire care about... Is he a vampire?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Would a vampire care about that? Probably not.
I think so. Surely.
Probably. What? Why would a vampire care about the moon?
Because, like, why the same reason we care? They've never been to the moon. There aren't, like, vampires on the moon. So surely you'd still be interested.
That we know of.
But there's no humans for them to, like, eat or whatever they do.
No, but they can have, like, interest still.
I guess. I guess I'm just thinking of a vampire in... more the traditional, like, Dracula sense, really.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah, a Dracula wouldn't be interested in the moon.
Dracula, no.
Alongside this, we have a little bit of Matt and Caroline, who are a human and his vampire girlfriend. And he has recently learned that she is a vampire and is freaking out about the whole thing.
Who are these two? I don't remember this.
Matt and Caroline, the blonde girl, Caroline, and her boyfriend, Matt. So he was talking to her mother at the beginning.
Yes, he was dressed as JFK and Jackie Kennedy.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
But Caroline thinks that he doesn't know anything because she compelled him to forget what he knew about vampires and he was on Vervain. So that's where that kind of ties back in. He knows and she doesn't know he knows.
Right. Okay. Is that why they were like him and the sheriff, which I assume is her mum, are sharing like lots of long knowing looks at each other? Because like I was like,
without context, that could look like something else.
Yeah. Like, are they having an affair or something? What's going on? Yeah. Very confusing.
What I need to discuss with these two is their cute couple's costume of JFK and Jackie, which is insane. For a number of reasons. First, are they really like couples goals? Secondly, not just any Jackie, it's a pink suit.
Yeah.
She's dressed in the outfit he was assassinated in.
It's assassination motor carriage Jackie Kennedy, which is... it's obviously a joke. Well, I think it would be anyway, but I think that's a hilarious joke, really. That's good writing, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if they were trying to be funny or they're like, oh, that's the only way people will know who Jackie Kennedy is we put her in the pink.
You know what? I'm going to go with, I hope it's the former, but I think it's the latter.
Okay.
I wish they were that aware of their own selves, but I fear.
Oh, no. Okay.
But all our characters are going to the dance because
yes,
Klaus is going to be there, so they have to be there.
Was one moment which really made me laugh was when Klaus or Alaric or whoever got to the dance, someone said to him, "Hey, nice outfit," or whatever. And I was like, he's not even dressed up. He's just wearing a jacket. He just looks like a regular dude.
I do have to say, I feel like, and I know that the women's outfits were more exciting probably in the 60s in general, but there was a poor show of effort from the guys in this episode.
Yeah,
for their dressing up.
Damon was just wearing like an open shirt or something. Like, he just had his chest on display, which, I mean, fair enough, but still.
I would say fair enough, but remember, he's attending the dance as a chaperone.
Okay.
He doesn't attend the high school.
Right, okay, yeah. Maybe not fair enough then.
And he's dancing, the bits where he's like dancing with this, you know, when he's dancing with the people he knows, I'll forgive it, they need it for the plot. But when he's dancing with the random high school student, it's crazy.
Oh, so Damon's supposed to be like, what, 25, and he's in love with 17-year-old... I keep wanting to call her Nina Dobrev, Elena.
You can call her Nina, it's fine.
Okay, but yeah, that's pretty grim.
Really, he's 140 and Stefan's 140. So there's no way you slice this where it's like an acceptable age gap.
No, that makes it 10 times worse.
Bad to worse, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, is that ever referenced at any point? Or is anyone like, hey, this isn't okay?
No.
No, okay. Cool.
Damon in season one dated Caroline the Blonde. And like her mom, the sheriff knew that, she didn't know that he was a vampire, but she knew that a 25-year-old man was dating her 17-year-old daughter and largely didn't care.
Okay. Well, that's Nikki. Yeah, that's pretty gross. Mm-hmm. And they're all fucking each other, aren't they, as well? So like
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. They're all like having sex and fucking each other, so like a lot of underage sex going on in this show then, it seems like.
Oh, really. 100%. And it's so we have talked a lot about like the consent in the show, and you have to kind of just wave past it, otherwise we're talking about it every single week, which is fine.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah,
it's so gross because Damon has slept with Elena's birth mother.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
We've got kind of like we've got kind of a web going of all the relationship chart, and the number of lines that people have that cross over is questionable at best.
I do enjoy seeing the chart whenever it pops up on Twitter or Instagram. It is very funny just to see how over time how just convoluted it gets. It's very fun.
And we're only on season two.
I know.
Just we wait.
Yeah, I mean, it is like a mark of CW shows that they run out of things to do, so they just make the characters date each other. I do feel like they all do
100%.
But Vampire Diaries is a bit more extreme.
I used to be a big fan of the DC CW shows, so like Arrow and Flash and all those sort of stuff, and everyone just dated everyone in those shows. It was horrible.
And I did really like them, but I think one of like the best things I ever decided time wise was I wasn't going to watch all the CW shows and then like washed my hands of it at a certain point.
There was too
probably
many.
Probably wise.
At one point. Yeah, it was like you had to watch like 5 different shows a week just to keep up at one point. It got way too much.
Yeah.
But wheeling back to Before the Decade Dance, we've got one scene at school, which is like where we kind of first get the sense that Klaus is actually sort of here and about. So Jeremy and Bonnie are having a bit of a tiff. Well, I say a bit of a tiff about the fact that she is likely going to die. So she's got powers, and she knows how to kill Klaus with her kind of magic. She's harnessed and the power of some witches. Well, 100 dead witches. So she basically wants to kill Klaus with the Salvators and Elena, but using that much power is going to kill her, she says. So Jeremy, who she's currently dating, Elena's little brother, is obviously not best pleased.
Jeremy's Elena's little brother?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, interesting. I didn't get that sense at all. Okay.
No, I don't think they're very good at creating like family relationships, because even like Damon and Stefan, first of all, I don't think they look alike at all. And they're brothers.
No, nothing alike, no.
And they sometimes feel like brothers, but largely not. So they're not very good at like showing family dynamics in the show.
Okay, yeah. And Jeremy and Bonnie are dating, but they don't like have any chemistry at all.
Thank you.
Yeah. We have. I felt the last episode that we were absolutely shitting on Jeremy, basically. I did. We don't love him as a character.
Okay, yeah. He seems sweet enough, but as a couple, they don't really, like, it just seemed like, it just seemed like a relationship in a TV show, really. Like a fake relationship, so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like part of a, like, large issue with our issue with the character of Bonnie is that she's one of our favorite characters, but she always gets like the short end of the stick. So when everyone else, all the other female characters get like these like whirlwind sexy romances, she gets to date like Elena's kid brother, which she has no chemistry with.
Yeah. I have to say, I did go through like a roller coaster of emotions with Bonnie in this episode. Because, like, I went through the ringer. Her storyline goes all over the place, and I as a character, I quite enjoyed her quite a lot. I thought she was quite cool the way she she's got the power of 100 dead witches, which I find very funny. Just that line in itself, it just sounds very funny. But okay, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't need to know, I guess, but it's just very funny. And I guess that means she has like force powers and can like just throw people around the room and stuff, but like it looks cool and she's able to, you know, not to jump ahead, but she's able to hold her own and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's an interesting character.
Yeah, and this is like one of Bonnie's big episodes this season because she's like been largely pushed to the side. So anytime like Bonnie gets stuff to do, she gets to have like emotional scenes. I'm so here for it because I do really like her.
Mm. Okay, cool. But she's mostly pushed to the side, is she?
Yeah, she doesn't get the kind of big moments that a lot of the other characters do. You get a few times where she has some really interesting sort of character development and moments, but not nearly as much as she should do.
Yeah, and it's...
That's a shame.
Obviously, we're not, like, the best placed to speak about it, but she's also the only person of colour in the cast. So it's kind of, like, all wrapped up with that and, like, how we were treating, like, in particular, like, black female characters in the TV in, like, the 2010s. So it's like not great to talk about, but it's hard to ignore in the show because it is quite like overt.
I know all about that. Like, Still Got Legs, we talk about Martha quite a lot, and we love Martha, but she's not treated very well.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
our queen.
Yeah.
In that scene, then we get a girl kind of coming up to Bonnie and Elena and being like, "Ooh, there's someone will be at the dance tonight. Save a dance for him or something. His name's Klaus." So obviously that sets all of them on edge because they know that Klaus is about and he's going to be there tonight.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, and he's really hot as well. So he'll be like that. He's super hot.
Yeah. Klaus doesn't have an ego at all.
And that's what confused me because I was like, that's what really confused me because I was like, isn't this the teacher? What the fuck is going on? Why is the teacher asking people to the dance? I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I enjoyed like throughout the episode when like Klaus as Rick was bigging himself up when he was like, oh, he's the biggest, baddest vampire. Like that was really cool. And like genuinely being offended when I think Damon called like his like song shout out lame.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I enjoyed that. I also quite enjoyed, so after that they kind of debrief in the Salvatore's house and Rick, of course, Alaric is just there, so they're there just spilling all the beans. Bonnie has her powers back. I can definitely kill him. And one interesting point, I thought, this decade dance, it feels like everyone's dressed in quite, you know, spring, summer clothing. I can't quite work out from the timelines what month this is. But it's definitely not winter, and the Salvators still have their fire on, and I'm baffled.
It's I think it's like May, so they have a full fire in May.
Jesus,
this is unnecessary.
That would get where is Mystic Falls in America?
Virginia.
That would get hot in May.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the decade dance are all in little like mini skirts and tops, and yeah. No extra layers, so yeah.
I think it's just for the aesthetic. I think that.
Yeah, it's definitely for aesthetic, actually.
That's why Damon does anything. He wears his leather trousers and his deep V and has a roaring fire.
His leather trousers.
He's going for the vibe.
I think, this is where I kind of put two and two together that this guy was pretending to be or like taking the form of someone else or something when like they're out this they're at the Salvatore house, I think, and then they're all like, hey, this guy's coming to the dance, we should kill him or whatever. So yeah, that's when I kind of clocked what was going
on. Like,
on.
He's right there, get him now.
Get him, shoot him.
What are they doing? So they all decide to go to the dance to confront Klaus. And I feel like Elena and Stefan have this like quite emotional scene. And basically, I don't know how much you know of the kind of Stefan and Damon. There's kind of this like love triangle with Elena. That at the moment she's been in a very faithful relationship with Stefan, but we know that Damon's in love with her. And of course, the scene, this emotional scene, is interrupted by Damon
watching
at the end. And I feel like throughout this episode, and especially at the end, which we'll get to, but I feel like there is an interesting like emotional moment with Stefan, emotional moment with Damon, and I feel like there's a bit of room in this episode for Damon and Elena's sort of almost sort of chemistry, and it feels slightly like they're trying to push that a little more in this episode.
I kind of got the vibe that Elena was just repulsed by him throughout a lot of the episode, really. She maybe it was just this one, but for me, she didn't seem into him at all. But I guess that makes sense, though, since she's officially dating his brother in this episode. So, yeah.
They have this, like, complicated relationship where, like, she hated him, and then they've become, like, quite good friends. But she's always like, I can see the good in you if you just be a good person. So she's, like, trying to make him better, which is a really healthy lesson to impart on an audience of teenage girls.
Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, technically he killed her brother and she's still okay with him right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but all right, so she had two brothers then. There was Jeremy and another brother.
No, he's come back. Oh, he's come back to life.
Up a can of worms. He came back to life.
Don't worry about it. Okay. He died. He's back again.
Oh, yeah, I won't worry. It's fine, whatever. Okay. I have a note here. Where is it gone? Which just says witch bitch is very funny. I think someone calls Bonnie witch bitch. I think maybe it might have been Klaus, but that made me laugh quite a bit.
That's a good line.
That's good.
Yeah.
At the dance, I have to give out to some of my favourites, which is extra dancing. All the extras.
I've got my notes on this.
They're amazing. So there's several groups doing choreographed routines. There is like a group of women dressed up as the Supremes, and every time it pans to them, they're doing a full routine. I was obsessed.
Oh my God.
I did quite enjoy the guy dancing by himself doing, and sorry for this, because like, I don't know what the move is. What's this one with the art? Like, and he was just doing this all by himself the whole time.
The like peace signs in front of the eyes sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but bad extra acting is one of my favorite things. It's so funny every time it pops up. It's so good.
But what an event as well. The number of extras they got. I mean, the number of people that go to this school, it feels like an event now that I'd be like, wow, big event I'd like to attend. Mm. It does not feel like a school, you know, a school disco vibe.
I think that's because everyone's 45.
that helps.
This group of adults.
This group of adults at the local school.
What I do love is how much in this show they fucking go for like costumes. Like, I don't know, are you a fancy dress guy, Nathan?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Every opportunity I get. Yeah.
My God, yeah. We're the exact same.
Definitely. You gotta do it. I feel like if there's a theme.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put in the effort. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, and all the costumes from the women. The costumes were very good this episode. They were doing some fun things.
There should have been a lot of like Beatles mop tops and like flower power t-shirts and stuff, but and maybe some like, you know, like the Sgt. Pepper Beatles outfits and stuff. Some of
they
that.
They should have grown the mustache.
Yeah, the mustache. They should have, but No effort, really. So.
No, I saw an extra dressed as Sgt. Pepper Beatles, so they were in the background.
Oh, okay. Oh, I must have missed that. But
Not our main characters. They're not allowed to look silly. They've got to be attractive at all times.
Damon's got to wear that DP.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do have a shout out for Bonnie's dress. I thought she looked great. And Elena's go-go boots. Are they go-go boots? They're not go-go. Yeah.
Mm. I think so.
Yeah.
I think they're meant to be. But yeah, I know. I thought they both looked great. I, again, can't get on board with Caroline, Jesse. in the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
But she does look good.
She looks great, but the outfit, like, yeah.
So is this where we get the reveal that Bonnie's basically intending to kill herself, basically?
Yeah.
So if she fights Klaus, she's going to die because she's got too much witch powers or something? I don't know.
If she uses that much power, it will kill her.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where every character in the show will sacrifice themselves to save Elena because she is the most special person in the world, so they all will die to save her.
Yeah, okay.
Also, one thing I did enjoy from Elena is they're like, oh, we'll look for Klaus. So he does like a shout-out song, which is where Damon says he's not impressed by. And Elena's like, but I know everyone here. And I was like, how? There are hundreds of people here. You're telling me you've walked around and been like, yep, know them all.
And if she does know them all, then she's just rude because she isn't talking to any of them. She isn't even saying hello or anything. Like, that's just rude.
It's not a social event. They're there to catch a vampire. That's it.
No, but you'd still say hello if you saw someone you know.
I think that's a great point. Like, the school actually must hate, like, our characters because they never interact with anyone else.
Yeah, 100%.
And then we get a series of couples dancing. Our big scene is they all engage in a series of very choreographed routines while having intense conversations with each other.
I was expecting something a bit more fun from the Salvators with the choreographed dance, though. So in the last season one, Stefan did gave Elena a fun little twist because, you know, they were both around in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah.
And they brought out nothing.
Yeah. It just seemed like pretty standard dancing, really. Quite disappointing.
Yeah, I thought, to be honest, I thought the Bonnie and Damon bit was quite fun. How he immediately put his hands up to her and she, without questioning it, joined in and they just started doing a weird little sashay.
I do like this. It almost is starting, because these two characters have hated each other quite a lot for a while, and it's starting to kind of build a bit of their rapport and a bit of their kind of relationship. So I enjoyed that Damon found out about Bonnie and kind of sort of confronted her about it and was like, anything you can do to increase your odds? Which I thought was quite a nice little scene. I mean, he didn't try very hard at this point, but...
No, he's still very much happy for her to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't seem all that first, to be honest.
But I guess it's better than, because season one he was actively trying to kill her. So it's better than that.
Okay, well,
progress.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Yeah, and then it kind of gets revealed to Elena that the plan is for Bonnie to die. And Elena is obviously not happy about it. So thank God she's not like, yes, of course, I must be saved.
Yeah. No. But throughout the whole episode as well, she's also been like, I've got Bonnie. I'm fine. I don't need anyone else. Bonnie's the one who can protect me. Bonnie's my personal bodyguard, apparently. So, but now she's suddenly like, no, you can't be my bodyguard. I don't know. Seemed a bit odd to me, I guess.
She didn't know that she thought Bonnie could take Klaus down without dying, basically. So she then learned that Bonnie would die, and that, even though it would always be quite risky, that was unacceptable. I kind of liked the scene between the two of them. But equally, I don't understand why these 17-year-old children are so ready to die for each other.
Yeah, I was not ready to die for anyone at 17. I was not ready to die at 17. My God.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
wasn't ready to do anything.
Like, I'm not jumping in front of any bullets.
Like, I love Lawrence, but no, he can go, mate. It's him or me, it's him, all right?
And then we kind of get to the crux of the episode, which is Klaus has an agenda, which is to kill Bonnie. And he provides a bit of a ruse. So he gets some kids to attack Jeremy and the Salvatore brothers sort of jump in.
I don't know if it's my musical brain always being switched on, but when those kids cornered Jeremy, I thought it was a scene from West Side Story. It was just like how they all came in. I was expecting them to start clicking any moment.
It did kind of have that vibe. Yeah, I see what you mean. It did seem very like I know they were compelled and everything, but it did seem like very much just like stereotypical tough guy in the like locker room or whatever. Like, hey, where you guys going?
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't really much to it. But
I liked, because we don't like Jeremy, I did like him being like, wrong day, wrong guy, and then immediately getting beaten up. He had a lot of confidence.
That was pretty fun. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so whilst Damon and Stefan, the idiots, they are off helping Jeremy, Rick, as Klaus, has been like, oh, Klaus has Jeremy, and has taken Bonnie and Elena off in a completely different direction. Yeah. I did feel like they were slightly slow on the uptake.
Yeah. Like, I figured it out before then. So like, that should tell you what's going on. Although this scene again, though, it did confuse me because I thought I figured it out. But then they were like, oh, he's Alaric. And I was like, wait, who's Alaric now? And then it went, oh, no, he's Klaus. I went, oh, so he is Klaus. He wasn't before. Yeah, again, just back and forth on this whole thing. They don't make it clear for newbies, and they shouldn't, to be fair. This is my fault, but still.
It's not your fault.
It's my fault. I'm coming into this as season 2, episode 18, okay?
Look, I would say, obviously, the writers weren't like, this will be a great jumping off point for new fans.
Yeah.
But equally, we were like, Nathan, please come on the podcast. Don't worry if you don't know anything.
Makes it more fun. Makes it more interesting.
Yeah, I didn't think the reveal scene was actually that good. There were lots of very intense eyebrow acting from everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, the Klaus reveal was like, I don't know, it was a reveal for the characters, mm-hmm. not for us. So that's always just a little underwhelming because we're like, yeah, we know. Like, I saw the episode, I get it. And the kind of way he like revealed himself, he seemed like it was a bit cheesy. Like, it wasn't really that sinister or dangerous, really. So
yeah,
a little underwhelming.
The thing is, like, Klaus is a cheesy character, but the actor is very charismatic, so it like helps some of the cheese go down, whereas like when we've just got this guy pretending to be Klaus and he's not the most charismatic, it just makes it like a bit cringy and a bit like, God, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I'm also sad that you can't hear the British accent of the real Klaus because he is also British.
Oh, he's British. Okay.
Yeah, he is. So now we've got this up. I always wonder, so they do it quite a few times throughout the series where someone is basically being someone else.
Yeah.
And if you're in someone else's body, I feel like you would have that, like, you'd have your own accent, right? And I know he's trying to be Rick in front of other people, but when he's by himself, and I know in this instance they hadn't cast the actor, but I feel like it's a recurring theme. I feel like if I was in Catherine, your body, I'd sound like you, but I'd have my accent.
You'd say, like, because we all pronounce words differently and stuff, so you'd say certain words like the way you pronounce them rather than they pronounce them. So, like I don't know if the accent would be different because I'm thinking of it from like a vocal cords point of view. Like, you've got their vocal cords but then again,
I think you'd sound weird. I think it'd be a mix between the two. I think you're right. You'd have like the other vocal cords, so you wouldn't quite have your accent, but you would like shape the words the way you do. Like, I'm not going to start suddenly going like, it's a dance, I don't think. But yeah, I don't know. I do think that's too hard. That's too big an ask of the actors.
I know. I just had to raise it.
So the guy who plays actual Klaus, is he actually British or is it an American doing a British accent? Okay, so he's actually British.
He does like a very like London accent.
Yeah. Is it very like, is it like Cockney or more like posh London?
Alice, how would you describe it? You'd know better than me.
Definitely not Cockney. But
it's not posh either.
It's like I think it's just a very pronounced one. So like, I think he very like quite strongly pronounces his words in just like.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not a super posh one. I don't really know how to explain it.
Okay.
Yeah. Every other word out of his mouth is like love.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They do like that, the Americans. Yeah. Usually whenever they get an American or a British character on a CW show, it's just the worst accent you've ever heard going. Mm-hmm. Or the other way around. I remember Alex Kingston, who plays River Song on Doctor Who, she was in a few episodes of Arrow, playing an American character, and her accent was atrocious. Like, just, I love her as an actress, but she could not do that accent at all. It was quite rough.
Yeah. I do think it goes both ways.
Yeah, definitely.
And we have, even with with this show, there was a character earlier in the season who was British, and we still found her British accent quite tough.
All right.
And we get kind of like, I think one of the better bits of the episode that you were talking about earlier, Nathan, is the Bonnie versus Klaus scene,
yes,
where it's like a proper showdown between the two of them. Damon says, are you going to do anything to stop him? And she says, yes. And then you get her like breaking bones,
yeah,
and messing with, like, it's very, very dramatic. She's like messing with the lights. She's got wind going everywhere. Like, she's going all out for this.
She really fucks him up. It's quite good to see, to be honest. Yeah. She like throws him down that hallway. Dude goes flying, like straight into the trophy cabinet or whatever. He goes flying. It's quite fun.
Yeah. And it was a really kind of, like, as you say, Catherine, really visual scene that I really enjoyed. Mm. It just felt very, you could feel as the audience, you could feel kind of the power that they were trying to portray.
Mm. Yeah. And it's good for where, like, so just because the show's like started with Bonnie having no magic and her like learning it over time. So it's very much like culminating like where she's come from that she could even do this, because she used to like struggle with quite like basic spells.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and we get the Bonnie, we think, killing herself to try and stop him.
Yeah.
And she's sort of trapped Elena and Stefan outside the room.
I didn't really like that bit. It seemed a bit like, well, I guess my issue with it is more what comes after, really, because it kind of seems like, oh, like, I feel like it was probably resolved a bit too early. But, I mean,
I think it's hard, yeah. I agree, like, if you're going to do it, why have no mystery?
Yeah.
But equally, although I like the scene, I don't think that would have been, like, a good enough or poignant enough death for Bonnie, who's one of our, like, main characters.
Yeah.
So, like, had they done that and then, like, ended the episode, I think it would have felt really, like, I don't know, like, cheap to the audience also. But then this also does, so they're kind of, like, in a bind. Right.
I think I like the concept more than the execution, because I think it is quite, like, they kill off quite a lot of characters on the show in general, so it is quite good to have kind of almost a fake death. And I thought the kind of the idea was good, but I agree, I think the execution of sort of the reveal was a bit.
So I know that, like, characters like die and get resurrected on the show like all the time, pretty much. So like, when she died, I didn't know she was dead. I was very confused. I thought. Is she dead, or is she like gonna be back in an episode or two, like, because she was resurrected or some shit? So I didn't know if this was the end of Bonnie or not. I thought if it is, I was like, that's kind of shit from what I know about the character and stuff. But that's not the case. I did think it was very funny how, like, and again, I didn't know she necessarily wasn't dead at this point, but how Damon just drops her in a dumpster outside of school. And he like makes a point of saying like they need to hide the body or something, like the sheriff can't find it, and he just drops her in the first dumpster he sees outside the school. I don't know, that didn't seem very smart to me, but
yeah, she was good. I think he was putting her in the boot of his car, but like she has no dignity in it.
Oh, was it his car? I thought it was a dumpster.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
Because he knew the plan. It was his plan to like fake her death.
Oh, okay, that makes
but even
more sense.
Then, like, I don't know, you have a body of like a friend.
Yeah.
Are you just putting them in the boot of your car? Especially if you know they're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, and I know why they did it, but they did make Damon particularly cold when Bonnie was dead. Like, it kind of mirrors, and there was a scene in season one, basically, when this girl Vicky is killed at a school, and it's Damon was he was the villain at that point, and was a lot colder, and I think it kind of mirrors that, but I don't know, I think as the audience it did feel quite disingenuous.
Right, okay. So so Klaus's body was killed, but Klaus wasn't killed, so like this guy he's pretending to be. Does that mean Alaric is dead?
Or? We don't have a clue. He's disappeared. I feel like, do we see what happens to him? Because I thought, I was just like, they're in the room. Where is Klaus?
Yeah.
Not a clue.
It's not very clear. I think it's meant to be that Bonnie used all her power and burnt herself out, and she didn't even manage to break his body, which, like, thank God it was a double ruse, because that would have been pointless. So Alaric is still alive.
Right, okay. Was that not his body we saw at the end with the knife in his chest?
Oh, no, that's someone else.
Don't you worry.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, but even though Damon knows that Bonnie's not dead, Elena like literally thinks her best friend died and is understandably quite distraught.
Yeah, yeah. But then they like have a FaceTime call, so it's fine. See, that this is why I was like just a little bit like, because like all the dramatic tension was just kind of sucked away for me, really. Like, I think if they could have at least put it off for an episode or two, but yeah, just the fact that they then have a FaceTime call or whatever, it just seemed like, oh, it's all fine and we're all okay now. So, yeah.
Using MiFi.
Can't forget the MiFi.
AT&T's MiFi, guys.
Yeah. That makes it all okay. Like, yeah. Elena's like, I was really upset you did this, but now I've got MiFi. It's all fine.
Everyone check out the crisp internet signal on this MiFi. It's really strong. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, their video call quality was insane.
They always do that. I hate it whenever like shows and movies do this, when it's like a FaceTime call, but they're clearly just using the cinema quality cameras for the FaceTime or whatever. Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah, and also with them trying to like reveal that Bunny's not alive. Damon takes fucking forever to say it. Like, I get they want it to be like a big moment, but just be like, Bonnie's not dead. Why are we dancing around this?
Yeah.
Had to get that slap in first.
Yeah. He seems to be the kind of person who loves drama. So seems to be a bit of a drama queen.
That's a very good reading of him.
Yeah. So Bonnie is alive. They say she cast a spell or something which kept her alive. They're quite vague about it, I guess. I don't know if they ever explain it down the line, but it was just, oh, she cast a spell, so she's fine, or whatever.
Yeah, I think that might be as far as they go.
Okay, right, fair enough. I mean, it's as far as I need to go, I guess.
Magic can do whatever the script needs it to do, but also has whatever limitations the script needs it to have.
Yeah, that's good. That's good writing. That's good script writing. Yeah.
Why bother world building where you can just change your rules instead?
Exactly. Yeah. Why bother? Yeah. And my ending note here just says, I have no idea what that ending means, because I don't know.
Do you want us to explain, or are you happy in your not knowing?
Oh, I kind of want to know. I kind of want to know like who that guy was or what was going on.
Okay. So, prior to meeting Klaus,
yes,
we had met one of his henchmen called Elijah,
okay,
who is also an original vampire.
Right.
And original vampires can't be killed. All you can do is dagger them and with a special dagger and keep the dagger in them, and they turn into a corpse. Elijah wants to kill Klaus. They were working with Elijah, but part of his plan to kill Klaus was that Elena had to die. So that's why they daggered him, because they were like, well, we can't have that. So by Elena taking out the dagger, she's going to work with Elijah again. Because Bonnie will die to kill Klaus, she's like, well, if we work with Elijah, then only I need to die. And that's
right.
The plan.
Okay, I see. Right. It still does not make sense, but I mean,
okay,
as much as it can, I guess.
Elijah and Klaus are big characters in the Vampire Diaries universe, because they're who gets the spin-off.
Yeah.
So they get the spin-off about original vampires, and they're like the original family because they're brothers. So it's like a whole different part of the Vampire Diaries universe.
So I guess like for people who like regularly, well, not really, it's not on anymore, but like for people who like really like Vampire Diaries, this is like a big episode. Then this is like a, and here I am just stumbling through it, not knowing what's going on.
It's like they're meeting like Captain Jack for the first time, and then he's going to go off and do his own thing.
Right.
Essentially, he starts on the show and then gets a spin-off.
I get you. Okay.
So that kind of takes us to the end, apart from to say that Damon implies that he loves Elena more because he won't listen to her, what she wants, which is a crazy point of view to have.
Yeah, I feel like this is a toxic idea.
It was funny, though, but yeah.
Yeah, I would be afraid to go back to, like, my 14-year-old brain and see what I thought about that at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to know. I don't know, I feel like the first time I ever watched this, I was really pro Stefan, and then I watched it when we were at uni and we watched some of it, I was pro Damon, so yeah, interesting.
Yeah, there's so much stuff when you're younger, you're just like, oh, that's sweet, that's romantic, but then you don't realise just quite how toxic and horrible it is until you're older.
Yeah. And until you're older and you do what any sensible person does and you start a rewatch podcast where you go through it in excruciating detail.
I'm about to do 3 hours on The End of Time in about the next hour or so.
I know.
Oh gosh, it's, you've got another one now.
Yeah, after this I'm recording. Oh, good luck.
Yeah. It's okay, we're wrapping up.
No, that's fine.
So yeah, so that takes us to the end. I'm actually really sad because we've got stats, but we don't have anything to add.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. So Bonnie dies, but not really.
What do you think, Alice? I don't think she died.
I don't think she died. Yeah, I don't think it counts for death.
Yeah, she fakes it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah, this is...
Nothing.
Is it first time ever? Maybe not quite, but no, close to. No.
Oh, okay, but... So what you were saying, though, about, like, the originals and how they can only... They don't die, but... If they have that knife removed, that means they're uncorpsed or whatever. Does that not count as a kind of resurrection sort of?
Yeah, we do count that.
Yeah, okay. You know, yes.
There we go.
Look at this expert.
I told you guys.
You're a Vampire Diaries aficionado. Absolutely right. Yeah. So we add a resurrection for Elijah, which is his second one, I believe.
Well, okay. This guy gets around.
Yeah, and that takes our total resurrections up to 15. So 15 times people have died and come back to life.
Death is so meaningless in this
show. I know. Except for when they, like, make it count, which is then always even weirder. Because you're all these other people get to come back, but this character has to stay dead forever.
But this time it's for real, guys, we promise. Oh, that's funny.
Just one other thing I wanted to say on this episode is one of our listeners, Dilly Elena, sent in a little bit of trivia and said that the original plan when Bonnie faked her death was that she would go off and like have her own storyline with a character we met earlier in the season. Don't worry about it, Nathan. Called Lucy, who's like one of her family members.
Really?
So
they were going to
and that was the plan, and that they would actually like do something with the storyline as opposed to just killing her. But for whatever reason, that didn't work out. And then...
Oh, that's gutting. That would have been really good.
Yeah, absolutely. They would have actually, like, I don't know, done a storyline, but it's fine. Also, when the song that Klaus compels a student to dedicate to Elena is a song, Last Kiss, not by Taylor Swift, by Pearl Jam. And the actual song is about a girl dying in a car accident.
Oh, God.
And Elena, at the start of the series, Elena and her parents were in this car accident and she was meant to die. So he is, like, on multiple levels psyching her out with this.
Oh, Klaus.
That's intense. Wow.
No. Yeah. But that brings us to the end of this episode. So, as we said, Nathan, do you want to say anything more on we've kind of referenced them, but what your podcasts are about?
Yes, sure. Thank you. So Another Happy Pod is our mine and Lawrence's pop culture show where, like, every week we'll talk about a movie, a TV show, a video game or something. It's mostly movies just because it's quicker and easier to do. So that comes out every Friday at 10 a.m. and then we have Still Got Legs, which is our Doctor Who rewatch podcast, similar to this, where every week we go through and discuss an episode of Doctor Who in excruciating detail, but but also detail about the stuff that no one is interested in as well. So if you like two grown men arguing about a suit that David Tennant wears, then boy have I got the podcast for you.
There are some arguments on that.
There are, yes.
They're very fun, though. It's like fun arguments, like you want to listen to them.
Yeah, I think you got involved in an argument as well. We had an argument about the Last of the Time Lords episode that you was on, didn't we?
Yeah, we had one about the face of Bo, and I was going to be like a person who refuses to accept that the face of Bo is... That was the other way I was going to introduce you, but I thought it made no sense to anyone who hadn't watched Doctor Who.
Yeah, that would be fair. That would be fair, but true, true though.
Oh, I can't. That's not Alice. Where can people find us if they want to contact the show?
You can find us on Instagram at Miss Mystic Pod or on formerly Twitter at...
You did it wrong, but it's okay.
Damn it! You can find us on Instagram at Missing Mystic Falls Pod or formerly Twitter at Miss Mystic Pod. You can find us on TikTok at Miss...
I've changed it.
Oh, you changed
Miss
it.
Miss Mystic Pod. Yeah. So they matched because it was crazy.
Miss Mystic Pod. Or you can email us at missingmysticfallspod@gmail.com.
Perfect. Yeah. so professional. Thank you. Yeah, so new episodes go up every Wednesday is the plan. We're a little bit in flux at the moment with everyone's schedule. So the plan is every Wednesday. But if you follow us on socials, we will put up when the episodes are going up. And in the meantime, you can go into your podcast app of choice and rate the show 5 stars. So we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.